John chapter 9. Now, if you want Tom to keep picking me for a sub so you get your 5 extra minutes, you're going to have to keep it a secret that I give you 5 extra minutes, all right? Because if he finds out, I will no longer be on the sub list. It's like kids at school when they see that sub. They let their guard down a little bit. I hope everybody's had a good week. Me and my family did. We had Lene and Ellie's cousin turned 5 Saturday. So we went to Interstate Bowl. I'll fix it 7. Is that right, Dad?
That's right.
Interstate Bowl. First time the girls had ever went bowling. They loved it. They got, of course, they're small, so they got the gutter guards. And I didn't know they got these big plastic ramps for little kids, and you just set the ball at the top, and you just push it down, and it goes. So that was neat. So my oldest, Ellie, 3, she enjoyed it. She did it right. She'd carry her ball, put it up there, put it at the top, the plastic ramp, push it, it'd go. She loved it. Addie did it a couple times, and then she decided that she was going to put the ball on top of the plastic ramp, and instead of pushing it down the ramp, she was going to headbutt it. So, several times, she headbutted that bowling ball down the line. And this is also, now, Ellie is just like her mama. She's already smart. She's probably already smarter than I am. Addie's more like me. Brain's just all over the place. We take Addie to the Bright Zoo. Addie's the youngest one, too. And every animal at Bright Zoo, she's looking at it and going, moo. Every animal goes moo. So that she's definitely my side of that. So, it's amazing how close they are and how different they are. It just, but it's fun. I'm glad that it's that way. And I'm
glad that one is like me, and I'm glad that one is like me, because when they get older, I know I'll at least have one on my side. Well, they'll have one on her side. The cutest thing happened last night. Addie woke up about 2 or 3 in the morning. She was crying, and I got up to go in there and get in bed with her because she was cold. And by the time I had got to her bedroom, she had already got up and went and got in bed with her sissy. Chapter 9 this morning, and I hope you all enjoyed Piney Grove Tuesday. I got the soup beans, the cornbread, and the popcorn chicken, and it was outstanding. And I saw several other good dishes. Maple Grove. Did I say Piney Grove? It's Maple Grove. Marty got a huge dessert dish that I wish I would have got. I'm just going to go back and get that dessert dish one day. So. All right. John chapter 9, starting in verse 1. We're just going to go through this chapter. We'll see how far we get. I've not really got a goal in mind about how far we get or anything like that. I'll just start reading some verses and talking and teaching a little. And when God says quit, I'll quit. If that means it's 10 till 11, it's 10 till 11. If that means it's 5 till 11, it's 5 till 11. But I don't have nothing set in stone this morning, so you all be very much in prayer, all right? I tell you what, before we do start teaching, getting in God's Word this morning, I want to ask John if you don't care to pray for the Sunday school this morning.
Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for the place that you've given us to come and worship you in spirit and in truth. Here today, and they wanted to
said, we're just going to take this verse by verse and see what God gives us this morning. But in John chapter 9, verse 1, the Bible says, "And as Jesus passed by." And I'm going to stop right there just for a second and just focus on how powerful that those words are, "and Jesus passed by." Jesus is getting ready to pass by a blind man here. And this man has been blind from his birth. And Jesus is getting ready to pass by him. And the more and more I begin to think about that, the more and more I let that minister to my soul, the same Jesus that passed by this blind man is the very same Jesus that passed by us when we were lost. In order for us to be saved, Jesus had to pass by. Now, Jesus passed by through a Sunday school lesson, or he passed by through a sermon. He may have passed by through a song. He may have passed by through a testimony that you heard. He may have passed by through something on the radio that you heard or something like that. But at some point in time in our lives, when we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, Jesus had to pass by. And then the more and more I begin to think about that, the more and more I begin to think and praise God, I'm thankful that that is not the only time that Jesus has passed by in my life. He has passed by when I've needed a friend. He has passed by when I have needed help. He has passed by when I have needed encouragement. He has passed by when I have needed guidance. So Jesus not only passed by when we needed salvation, but praise God this morning, he has passed by on many, many occasions under many, many circumstances. And the thing that I love about Jesus passing by is the second part of verse 9, "And he saw a man which was blind for birth." When Jesus passes by, he notices you. When Jesus passes by, he recognizes you. Jesus passes by this blind man, and when the Bible says he saw him, it doesn't mean that he just looked at him and saw him and went on his way. No, this was an action of sight. It's just not seeing somebody, but when Jesus saw this blind man, Jesus was walking up to him, going to interact with him. See, there's a difference between seeing something and just going on down the road and seeing something and walking over and doing something about it. See, I'm glad that when Jesus saw us in our sins, he just didn't see us in our sins and keep on walking. When Jesus saw us in our sins, he stopped to talk to us for a little while.
Right. Yeah.
That's the same thing with this blind man right here. And being blind, if you look back in biblical times, we're going to get into this a little bit later on. If somebody was blind, it was believed that they had committed some type of terrible sin. And because this man was blind from birth, it was believed that this man's parents had committed some form of terrible sin. And let me say this morning. I said it a few weeks back in a sermon or something like that. Sometimes bad things just happen to good people. Sometimes it's not because of sin. Sometimes it's not because they did something wrong. Sometimes bad things just happen to good people. Look at Job. Job was perfect. Job was upright. Job was somebody that lived a righteous life. The best of the best, I guess you could say. But man, terrible, terrible things happened to Job. His children died. All his cattle gets destroyed and things like that. The only thing Job had left was a nagging wife. Hell, we laid down the Sunday school. I wouldn't say that to you. I wonder if there's a speaker here. Yeah. Well, hey, I love you, baby.
somebody with prosthetic and things like that. You know, it's easy to look at individuals like that as being different. But as I was reading this story, I hope and pray that me and Lene raise our girls to the place of form to where they can see somebody that's blind, or they can see somebody that's disabled, they can see somebody that can't walk, or, you know, any type of disability and thing like that, and not look at them as being any different whatsoever.
Right.
You know, and I think that's important. If you've got grandkids and you've got kids, you know, you want them to treat everybody with the same amount of respect. Listen, God is no respecter of persons.
Okay.
He's not at all. And we're going to see this in this example right here. But he saw a man which was blind from birth. So sometimes bad things just happen to good people. So if you're doing everything right in your life this morning, and bad things are happening, guess what? That's called life. It's going to happen more. As long as you live here, it's going to happen more. It's not going to stop until you get to heaven, praise God. Okay? And then we'll get to verse 2. And his disciples, this being Jesus' disciples, asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? So again, the disciples, and I'm not knocking the disciples right here, because this was how they were born and raised. They were born and raised to think this way. Okay, so I'm not knocking them, not degrading them any way whatsoever. This is what they were born and raised to think according to Jewish law and according to Jewish custom. So in verse 3 it says, Jesus answered. Then we get into the red letters right here. And I love the red letters. Every part of the Bible is important. But man alive, when you get to those red letters, that's something even more special, because these are the words that are coming out of Jesus' mouth himself. I want to encourage you to listen. I think his name is Crowder, and he sings a song called The Red Letters. I encourage you to, if you've got Spotify or something, look that up and listen to that song. It is a wonderful song. I see Jesse shaking her head about that. You heard it, Jesse? It's a good song. Maybe you can sing it on Sunday. Okay. All right. Verse 3, Jesus answered, neither have this man sinned nor his parents. So Jesus says right here, it's not his fault, it's not his parents' fault. He's just born blind. Now let me say this. God, the Holy Spirit, had a reason and had a purpose for this man being born blind. I want to tell you something this morning. Whatever trouble you are going through this morning, God has a reason and God has a purpose for you going through that. And even if it is a trouble that you are going through, that you put yourself there, you made a bad decision, or you made a bad act, or you committed some type of sin or something like that. Even if you put yourself in that situation, God is so powerful. God is so great. God is so awesome. God is so masterful that He can take your terrible decision and turn it around, and God get the glory out of it. That's how powerful that God is this morning, okay? So this is the reason this man is blind. Jesus is saying it right here. So this is very big. This is probably the key to the whole story here in verse 3. But that the works of God should be made manifest in him. That is the reason that this man was born blind, was so that God's work could be made manifest in him. So when you are going through a trouble, now me personally, I couldn't think of anything worse than being blind. I take advantage of being able to get up off the couch, walk to the fridge, get a doctor enough, go back and sit down and watch Tennessee football. I don't even think twice about it. I take advantage to be able to walk and get in my car and drive down the road and not even think twice about it. You know, I don't even think twice about getting up in the morning, getting dressed, taking a shower, fixing my hair, brushing my teeth, and looking in that mirror and seeing how beautiful that I am. Okay? Now, those are very simple things of life. But somebody that's blind, I mean, this man's been blind from his birth. He don't even know what he looks like. He don't know what his mom and dad looks like. If he had any friends, he don't even know what his friends look like. So as I begin to think about that this morning, don't take for granted the simple blessings of life.
Amen.
You know, sometimes we get caught up, and the devil loves for Christians to think this way. God's got to part the Red Sea. God's got to raise somebody from the dead. should not take anything that big for us to recognize who that God is.
That's right.
Walking is enough. Talking is enough. Seeing is enough. Working is enough. And everything else that God does, bless God, that's the cherry on top of the ice cream.
That's right. That's right.
So let's be thankful for that. Don't take the little things for granted. So God is going to make himself manifest through this individual. And I think that should be every single one of our goals this morning. We should make the works of God, the glory of God, manifest inside each and every one of us. God is getting ready to use this blind man to put the most religious people in their place. Just because you have religion does not mean you have God. Just because you have religion does not mean you have Jesus. Just because you have religion does not mean you have the Holy Spirit. One of the reasons me and my family love this church is the name of it. Liberty Fellowship Church. Don't say Baptist. Don't say Free Will Baptist. Don't say Methodist. Don't say Presbyterian. It's Liberty Fellowship Church. And I've heard preachers say for the longest time, denomination don't matter. Well, if denomination don't matter, why you got a denomination on your side?
That's right.
I've always said that. So that's one thing that makes me, and living in the day and time and the generation that we live in today, I'll tell you right now, in my age, I can talk about my age. But that 20 to 30, can't hardly get them in church. And one of the biggest reasons you can't get them in church is denomination. The denomination that's on the sign. Well, I can't go to that church. It's Free Will Baptist. I was Baptist my whole life. Well, I can't go to that church. I was raised Presbyterian. And it says Methodist on that sign. I can't go to that church. Listen, when we get to heaven, I can assure you 100% of something. There will not be one denomination in heaven.
Amen.
We will all be the children of God.
Right.
And if that's the way that it's going to be in heaven, then praise God, let's let it be that way on earth. Hallelujah. Amen. That's one of the reasons me and my family, I'm just throwing that out there, that's free. It's common, sir. Or Daniel, sir. Okay? So verse 4. Jesus speaking, I must, we'll come back to that in a second. I must work the works of him that sent me while this day the night cometh when no man can work. So, in other words, what Jesus is saying right here, I'm not going to be here forever. He's not going into great detail right here, but he knows he's going to die. He knows he's going to die on the cross. It wasn't taking him by surprise or anything like that. He knew physically he wasn't going to be walking on the earth that long. He was going to die at 33 and a half years age. So that's what he's meaning, what he says here. But he says, I must. And when I look at that verse, Jesus was taking his work for his dad so serious. Our Heavenly Father, his dad. Jesus was taking his work. He said, I must work. Now, how many of us say to our current job, I'm an online teacher for Carter County. Tomorrow morning rolls around. My alarm clock goes up at 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to say, I must get up. I got to get ready. I got to go to work. Okay? Now I may hit snooze and it might be 6:30, but by the time 6:30 rolls around, I must is going to be a little bit more serious. Okay? I must get up and I must get ready. I love college football. It's getting ready to start. My coach is volleyball. They're getting ready to start all kinds of stuff. Their season's getting ready to come up. Well, you just don't. Tennessee plays September 2nd, I think. They play Virginia and Nashville. Well, I can assure you the balls ain't showing up in Nashville on September the 2nd with no practice. I can guarantee you they've already practiced 9-10 times and they've already had one scrimmage if anybody's wondering. Okay, that's how excited I am about football, okay? That's how they're getting ready for September 2nd. Those coaches get up and say, hey, we must hit the practice field today. Hey, we must train today. We're getting ready for September the 2nd. We want to beat Virginia. We must get up. We must train. We must get ready. We say that about our jobs. Kids will say that about school. Kids will say that about the athletic stuff that they're getting ready to participate in. You'll say it about band. I must get ready for this. Nothing wrong with that. It's great to have responsibility, and it's great to have dedication. That is awesome. But how many times do we get up and say, hey, I must do this for God? Think about that for a second. Listen, our relationship with God is the most important thing that we have. And if we can say I must to all these other things in the world, bless God, we better be able to say I must to the Lord Jesus Christ and God and the Holy Spirit when they're telling us to do something. I don't know about you, Bob, but I just hurt my toes saying that, okay? That hit me hard too, all right? It was non-negotiable. Jesus was going to do His Father's work. I must. So let us be non-negotiable when it comes to God's work. Let's not negotiate. Let's not take a back seat. Let's not say, well, I'll let that wait 3 or 4 days, or I'll start that next year, or I'll do this in a couple months, God. Life is just too busy right now. Let me say something about that. When life gets so busy, and God is trying to get our attention, and God may put something on our hearts and on our minds, you know, our initial thought is, well, God, why would you put this on my heart and on my mind right now? You know how busy my life is right now. Have you ever stopped to think that maybe God put that on your heart and mind while you were so busy so you would take some time to think of Him for a few minutes?
Yeah.
That's me. That's me. Verse 5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, we know that Jesus is the light of the world. But God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are so powerful that Jesus right now is sitting at the right hand of God. So who's the light of the world? Jesus still is. Through who? Us. Jesus lives in us. God's Holy Spirit lives in us. God is living in us. So yeah, while Jesus is in heaven, He's on earth too. He's living in us. And we have to be the light of this world. So that's what this blind man is getting ready to be the light of the world. He don't even know it. He has no idea. Verse 6. Now see, I do enjoy teaching Sunday school. This is kind of how I teach it in my classroom. So this kind of puts me in teacher mode instead of preacher mode. Verse 6. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground. Jesus spits on the ground. I guarantee you right now, that's the holiest spit that's ever been on the face of the earth. Somebody spits on me, Jesus spitting on the ground right here. So I like mine. I love my dad. But if my dad spits on me, I'm going to punch my dad in the face. I love him. Jesus spits on the ground. And made clay of the spittle. So he spits on the dirt. Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the most holy person that's ever been upon the face of the earth. Can you see him getting down on his hands and knees right here, spitting in that dirt?
Yeah.
And him taking, he didn't have more gardening gloves on him. Which made gardening gloves existed back then. Sticking his hands in the filth of the dirt. Making mud. I got to think about something when it came to that. Jesus got his hands dirty. Man alive. I'm thankful that Jesus got his hands dirty for me. I'm talking about the sins that he bore on the cross of Calvary. Jesus got his hands dirty. The dirt that was on his hands, not only this physical dirt right here, but when Jesus was hanging on the cross, and God had to turn his back on him. God looked away from him. The reason he did was because all of our filth was on his precious son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus got his hands dirty so that we could be clean. Praise God for that. Alright? So he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. So Jesus molds this clay. Now, he's doing this on the Sabbath, so he's breaking a religious law. Okay? It's important to remember. He is breaking a religious law. And if you know anything about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious leaders, they loved the law more than they loved Jesus. Okay? They didn't believe who Jesus was. So Jesus, according to the religious leaders, he is doing a big no-no right here because it is the Sabbath and you are supposed to rest on the Sabbath. We're going to get to that in just a second. So Jesus takes this mud, Jesus takes this clay, and he puts it on the blind man's eyes. That gets us to verse 7. And said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but that's how somebody raised in Grindstaff Hall of Country, Tennessee would say. Siloam. Which is, by interpretation, sin. So that means the pool of Siloam means sin. Now, I did some research on this pool because I wanted to know its location and I wanted to know the significance of it because it's got to be significant if it's in red. Jesus says it. It's significant. Well, the pool of Siloam was a stopping place for Jews that were traveling to Jerusalem on their way to the temple. So, this was a place, it wasn't like, I'm trying to think of a example right here. Do y'all know, y'all ever drive by a restaurant and you never see any cars at it? Anybody ever done that? Never busy. I don't know about you all, but when I see that, I usually don't stop to eat. Not judging them or anything like that, but if I don't see any other cars there, I usually ain't stop. Well, this was the opposite of that. Every Jew stopped at this pool on their way to Jerusalem because they were on such a long journey, such a long travel, and they would stop by this pool to wash themselves. They would stop by this pool to get something to drink. They would stop by this pool to rest. So this was a place that was constantly full of people. Kind of like going to Sam's on Black Friday. Or Walmart on Black Friday or something like that. Johnson City Mall on Black Friday. That's how busy that this place is. I'll never forget, I had just got my driver's license, and me and my cousin, Adam Kaubach, decided, I hadn't drove off Stony Creek at all, and this was going to be my first time driving to Johnson City. And I called up Adam. I said, Adam, you want to go to the mall with me? He said, yeah. Well, it was Black Friday. I didn't know what Black Friday was. I was 16 years old. If it didn't have anything to do with high school football, high school basketball, girls, I didn't even know it existed. Okay? So we get in my car, and Mom or Dad or somebody warned us and said, you know it's Black Friday. Well, you know, I remember, and one of the first things that went through my mind, I remember being in history class, and in the Great Depression, there was like Black Monday or Black Tuesday, and I thought the stock market was crashing. I didn't know what they meant when they said Black Friday. But we got to the mall, and man alive, that's the last time I ever went. She got me out Black Friday shopping once. I'll never do it again. Right? We came up, I think it was me, Linda, and Lynn. I promise we'll get back to this in a second. I like to share real life stories with you because I think it makes the scripture come alive more. Tupperware was on sale. And we had that between the four of us. There was a plan formulated. And I'm not kidding. There was Tupperware that was thrown by Lynn or Linda or Lynn from this pew about over here to this pew just so we could get it before somebody else.
The moral of that story is we got it.
Yeah. I don't know if we still have the Tupperware. They are. And what do? We sit quiet. We do nothing. We let it go. No! Jesus didn't let nothing go. Jesus went to church and flipped tables. He caused a ruckus. Bless God, let's cause a ruckus in the name of Jesus. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying go out here and pick a fight. There's a right way to do it. Jesus is doing it the right way. So he knows. He knows the religious leaders are going to be there. It's on the way to the temple. He knows what he's doing. Verse 8, the neighbors therefore, and they which before have seen him that was blind, said, is not this he that sat in bed? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. And he said, I am he. So there's doubt on, was this really the guy that had been blind since birth? People's confused. Like if it was him, and now he can see, what's going on? Verse 10, therefore they said to him, how were thine eyes opened? How did you get healed? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight. Then they said to him, where is he? He said, I know not. So the blind man right here gives Jesus the credit. Says, I was blind, I could see. I met this man by the name of Jesus. This is what he did. This is what he told me to do after he put the mud on my eyes. And now I can see. We're going to keep going on because I want to get to the religious leaders. Okay? Verse 13. The Pharisees questioned the people. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. So the people, the Jews, take this guy that was blind to the Pharisees. Bunch of tattletales. I don't like a tattletale to you. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened the eyes. That was a no-no. Listen, you weren't even allowed to knead dough on the Sabbath. Make biscuits, cornbread, rolls, all that stuff. You weren't even allowed to do that. Okay? Maple Grove has great cornbread, by the way. Verse 15. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said to them, he put clay upon mine eyes and washed and do see. Verse 16, therefore said one of the Pharisees, this man is not of God. Now, this is how religious the Pharisees were. The only thing they could think about was a law's been broken. And the Pharisees literally say right here, this man is not of God. He's the Son of God.
Yeah.
And the Pharisees didn't even recognize him. Don't be so full of religion that you leave Jesus out.
Right.
I want to repeat that. I'm repeating that to myself too. Don't be so full of religion that you leave Jesus out. People don't need religion. They need Jesus.
Amen.
Because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Oh, he didn't work on the Sabbath. He broke this law back in Leviticus. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? He's a sinner. He broke this law back in Leviticus. He broke the law that Moses gave, that God had gave to Moses. He's a sinner. How in the world can a sinner do a miracle? And there was division among them. I'm going to tell you something right now. Jesus is going to cause division.
That's right.
He is going to cause division. I hope you're on the right side of that division. His side. Because if you ain't on his side, you're on the wrong side of the division. Alright? Jesus knew what he knew it was going to cause this big uproar. Verse 17, they said to the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. So the man continues to give Jesus the credit. I want you to think about the pressure that this man is in. He's never seen before. He can see. He knows that law has been broken. He is a Jew. He knows the Jewish custom. He knows the Jewish law. He knows it is the Sabbath. So he knows the law has been broken. And no doubt he's probably thinking in his mind, man, this guy by the name of Jesus, this prophet, he's made me be able to see. But if I write him out, he's going to go to jail because he broke the law. The religious leaders are going to be all over him. They're going to be after him and things like that. So, you know, I'm just trying to humanize this a little bit. No doubt all that's going through his mind. It'd be going through mine. Okay? 18, but the Jews concerning him that he had been blind. So now they came up with another idea. Yeah. These Pharisees and the Jews say, you wasn't really blind. It was all fake. It was all a facade. Or you're not the same person that was blind since birth. And received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. So now they're getting mom and dad involved. Okay? Whew. I remember when mom and dad got involved when I was in school, it was never good. Because Nicholas got trouble. Alright? Now they're getting mom and dad involved. Verse 20. His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. So mom and dad come up and say, yeah, that's our son. He was born blind. That's him. Verse 21. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. We don't know how he can see. We wasn't there. We don't know about this guy spitting on the mud, on the dirt, making mud, sitting into the pool of Siloam and things like that. We don't know anything about that, but the only thing we can tell you is he is our son. He was blind from birth, and now he can see. Verse 21 in the middle. Or who hath opened his eyes? We know not. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. And I got to think about that. And again, I never would have thought about this way, or God would have never blessed me this way with it before I became a father. But there comes a time in life when our kids, our grandkids, your great-grandkids, they come of age.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And right. They are responsible for their own decision.
That's right.
They are.
Yeah.
I would love to be responsible for Ellie's and Addie's decisions from the moment Jesus comes back, but that's not the case. It's not the case. Now, I can guarantee you this. If Ellie and Addie's 22 years old and they're still living at home, they're going to go by Nick and make up all rules because they're under my roof. That whole age thing when they're 18, they're an adult. No, if you're under my roof, you ain't.
Right.
You're going by my rules. Do them dishes, Ellie. Hey, you got to mow the yard. She would. She probably, since she bowls with her forehead, she'd probably get on the lawn mower back. All right? But speaking about young people coming of age and things like that, you know, as parents and grandparents, and when they get responsible for the decisions they make and things like that. Listen, they are not going to make perfect decisions.
No. That's right.
They ain't. But what's important as parents and grandparents is when they know they've made that wrong decision, they know they can come to mom and dad.
That's right.
Or Gigi and Poppy, or K-Pop, or Nan, and say, hey, I made a bad decision. Will you help? Same picture with Jesus. You ever made a bad decision and you had to go to Jesus and say, God, I'm sorry?
Yeah.
Same picture, guys. Let's not lose focus on that, okay? I'm working with the youth a little bit. Let's not expect perfection out of our youth. Let's not do that. Let's be a place of love and healing and friendship and fellowship.
Yeah.
Especially in the day and time that we're living in, okay? Alright. 24. Then again called they the man that was blind and said to him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. So again, this is the Pharisees. When they say give God the praise, we know that this man is a sinner. They're not talking about giving Jesus the praise. They still don't want to give Jesus any of the credit. We're trying to move on now. Verse 25. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. 26. Then they said to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him. Kind of got intense with him, the blind man, the guy that was blind, and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. So what I get out of all this is this. The Pharisees did not want to celebrate Jesus. They wanted to celebrate Moses, and they wanted to celebrate the law that was written back in Leviticus.
Right.
That was the problem with this. And listen, there is nothing wrong with the law that is in Leviticus. It comes from God through Moses.
Yeah.
So I'm not here to knock the law. But I also want to say this morning. If we were depending on the law, none of us would be worthy enough to sit in these pews this morning.
That's right.
None of us would be able to come to church this morning. None of us would be able to do anything at all this morning for the Lord Jesus Christ, be because not one of us has been able to keep the law, and not none of us will ever be able to keep the law.
No.
Thank God for Moses. And thank God for the law that is Leviticus. But I want to tell you something right now, bless God. I'm not here to thank God for the law. I'm here to thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ and His blood. They didn't want to do that. Verse 30, the man answered and said to them, "Why herein is a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man